A lot of times I do a clip, and it's just for an introduction, it's just to give you a thought. Just so you know, a large part of this sermon comes from what you looked at today. But let's start with where we're at. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're taking a walk down God's hall of faith as we are starting our year with a little remembering. We're trying to go back and remember why faith. Why is it that I actually have faith in Christ? Why is it that I actually have faith in what He did? Why is it that I come here every Sunday morning? Where on earth is my passion that I used to have? And so we decided that the best way to start off remembering is to take a look at some pictures. And so we're looking at pictures that God hung into this hall of faith, as I have nicknamed it. And we started off with Abel. And Abel was all about sacrifice, and we understood that sacrifice plays a large part of faith. Last week we moved on to this unknown character in Enoch, and Enoch was all about pleasing God, all about a walk that would faithfully please God in every single way. And so we're going to continue walking, and we end up, it's going to cooperate a little while with me. When it goes, and we'll just stop and keep moving. Today we end up with Noah. Now, maybe you don't know this. Noah is pretty much well known by everybody in the world. Did you know that Noah is the most well-known Bible story in all the world, according to USA Today survey? It has been the topic of movies like Evan Almighty and Russell Crowe's Noah that came out last year. Still today, 2015 is when these figures came out. Still today, it is the number one nursery theme for Americans. Even with all the other things that have come out and all the other characters, Noah is still the number one. When they're going to decorate a nursery, they do Noah's Ark. Maybe it's the animals. I don't know. So this is a really well-known story. But this morning, I want to ask you a question before we get too deep into Noah's picture. I want to ask you about the differences that you saw in the clip there. If God was to give you the job, what would your plan look like? Would it look like Noah? Or would it look like Donald Duck? Now here's what I mean. If you think back to that clip, Noah was ready. The ark was built. He was standing up on top of the ark, and he was blowing the trumpet to get the animals near the ark. He had the plans all drawn. He understood the pictures, and he was ready for what was about to happen. Donald Duck? Not so much. He was laying in his hammock, and he was slipping his little drink. And even when Noah came and found him and said, "Hey, you're supposed to help organize these critters and get them up here on this ark, and it's going to start raining," Donald laughed at him. He pointed to the sun shining. And it really wasn't until God kind of put some lightning on Donald's butt that he finally got it in gear to say, "You know what? Maybe God's serious about this." And the irony is, in the middle of Donald's franticness to get them run around and try to get everything ready to go, he almost lost his beloved Daisy. Nothing seemed organized. And you know what? He almost didn't make the ark himself. Got in by the skin of his teeth, so to speak. Which would be ironic because Donald doesn't have any teeth. Okay, never mind. Here or there. So, here's the question. If God had given you the mission to save the world, what would your project look like? Would you have been as organized as Noah? Or would your plan look more like a mad dash and scramble right at the end to try to get everything together at the last moment just so you can check things off of your list? Ponder that thought for a second. Because we have a mission, don't we? And that brings us to Hebrews chapter 11, because we want to understand how to listen better. That is what Noah's picture is all about. You find his story kicking off in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, "By faith," there's our word, "Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen." Now that's important. That little statement, "not yet seen," remember, God was telling Noah something that sounded crazy talk. I mean, Noah lived in an area that there were no large bodies of water that we know of. Okay, Noah had never had the concept of rain as we know about it. So here's God trying to describe all of this to Noah, that he had never seen any of these things. But Noah had a response to it. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became the heir of righteousness in keeping with faith. So here we are with Noah, the next character in our little hall. And today we're going to talk about listening to God. And you have to realize that while we know Noah as the ark builder, the architect, the constructor, the one that put together the animal, the zookeeper, whatever he was, Noah at his very root was a listener. Because you know what? Noah had a lot to listen to. Noah had to listen to the problem. In verse 11 and 12 of Genesis chapter 6, it talks about how God came to Noah and said, I've been looking out across the land, and you know what? I see a problem, and that problem was sin. Noah had to listen to how God was talking about sin in everybody's life. Noah had to listen to judgment. See, because God had a plan to deal with the sin in Noah's time. He was going to destroy the earth. You know what I think was the saddest day in Noah's entire life? The day the ark door shut. Now that's just my own personal thought, but after 120 years of preaching that message that rain is coming, God is going to destroy the earth, and starting out with a congregation of eight and ended up with a congregation of eight, and as Noah made his way under the ark and it said, God shut the door, I got a feeling that thud that Noah heard as that door shut, his heart sank. Why? Because he had already listened to what God was about to do. And maybe as the people out there were laughing at this crazy old man that had gone into an ark in the middle of the desert, I got a feeling Noah probably shed a tear because he had been listening to God all these years. He had to listen to some construction instructions. God had some specifics, some things that he wanted Noah to do. He had to have how the ark was going to be built, how the ark was going to be put together, how you were going to pitch it so it didn't leak, how to keep the woodpeckers from pecking holes in it while you're riding around for 40 days. Noah had to listen to all of this stuff. He had to have some instructions on how to build this ark. It wasn't Noah's design, was it? It's not like God said, build a boat, and then he left it up to Noah to figure out how to build the boat. Because God had a purpose for this boat. God knew exactly how much space it was going to take to put in the elephants and the baby dinosaurs and whatever else that Noah lugged onto the ark, whatever creature got onto the ark. God knew exactly how much space it was going to take, and so he had some specific designs, and Noah had to listen to them all. Noah had to listen to the plan of salvation. This is what God says in 17 and 18. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breathed life in it. Everything on the earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. That was God's entire plan. I'm going to take eight people and stuff them in a boat with a bunch of animals for 40 days and 40 nights, and that's the entire plan. And in that, Noah had to listen how to survive. I mean, okay, I've been on a cruise a few times, and I remember the first one we took, it was our honeymoon, and it just so happened we got married in August, and y'all know what August down in the Caribbean is, don't you? It is hurricane season. And just so happens, the cruise that we went on went right between two hurricanes. And I remember the last night on that boat, they were supposed to have a talent show, and all the people that were there, I didn't have any talents, so I was out in the audience watching, but the people that got up there to present their talents, they weren't looking so good. They really weren't, because that boat was rocking, and she was a swaying, and she was pitching, and remember, Noah had to figure out, Noah had never sailed a boat. Noah had never done any of this. You know, the funny thing is, I'm looking at God's instructions for building the boat. He never mentioned a wheel and a rudder. You don't see it. Noah had to figure out how to survive in all of this. And here's the important part. Listening required Noah to take action. This is what it says in verse 22 right there in Genesis chapter 6. Noah did everything just as God commanded it. That's an important statement. Noah didn't leave anything to chance. If God said, make it 6'3" Noah made sure it was 6'3" exactly. If somebody cut it 6'3" or a millimeter extra, Noah said, recut it. God said, here. We're going to make it exactly like God said it. Could you imagine God coming to Noah and giving Noah these instructions and God writing it on down and saying, well, you know, he gave me 120 years. I could go on a little vacation first and rest up for the project. Get myself all ready. I mean, this is going to be a lot of work, and I got to preach while I'm doing this, and I got to convince my family that this is what we want to do. That's not what Noah did. It says he got right to work. He did it exactly as God said. That's listening, folks. That's faithful listening. Never do you hear God, Noah asking God a question about why are we doing this? Because God made it pretty evident, right? The flood is coming, Noah. And I've entrusted you with the plan. And you also, not only you to take this plan and build a boat, you're supposed to share this plan with everybody. That's important. Noah listened. Now, there are some definite obstacles to listening. I know that I have it. There are the voices of others that often prohibit us from listening. This is what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come with you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. There are always people out there that want to share their opinion. Kind of funny, everybody has one and everybody thinks you're entitled to their opinion. You have lots of people that want to share their ideas on how church is supposed to work. There are lots of people out there that want to share their points of view about how things are supposed to be done. There are lots of other voices that honestly deprive us of our passion. I think very many of us listen to other voices in our life. And we stop listening to God's voice, and those other voices, they begin to drown God out, and over the years, well, it just becomes mundane. If the voices of others aren't enough, I've got the voices of my own heart that I have to listen to, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil comes. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. It says it's out of my own heart that I bring these things. It isn't somebody else's fault. It is my own heart that is crying out to me to go and do these things. It is my own desire. It isn't somebody else leading me astray. I have to battle those voices, but I have to battle the voices that come right inside of my own heart. I look at that little simple list there, and I think back through my Christian life, you know, the ones after I accepted Christ. And honestly, there's a lot of that list that would apply to me over the years. A lot of those things I have participated in. As a matter of fact, well, I've never murdered anybody technically, I guess, so I guess I get one. But the others, I have to wonder, I think I have probably participated in all of them at some point during my Christian walk. And as I listen to my own heart, I find myself unable to listen to God, because that's the way it works. There's the voices of our past that we listen to, according to Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. About noon the following day, there was a journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open up and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth and on its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as the reptiles and birds and voices. And the voice told him, get up and eat. Kill and eat, Peter. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. We talked about this story before in the past, how Peter was of a Jewish descent and they had a very specific diet. And at that point, it was unlawful for him to eat bacon. I don't understand why God would make bacon unlawful, but he did. Okay, it was unlawful for different creatures for them not to eat that. And so now God is saying, it's okay, Peter. And what does God say? What does Peter say to God? I don't think so, God. I don't think so. I'm not going to listen to what you're telling me to do, because what you're telling me to do goes against what I've been told in the past. Don't tell me it doesn't get in the way. It does. It robs us of our passion. And if all of those voices weren't enough to keep us distracted, then we have the voice of Satan that still runs around behind us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan just keeps whispering those same old lies in our ears, and we just keep falling for the same old thing. And then we wonder how, when we get down this hall and we get down in faith, we just lose our passion through the years. It's because we're stopped listening. It's because we can't hear God's voice anymore. It's been drowned out by everything else around me, and I started listening to all these other voices, and God's just not there for me anymore. But I don't want to give up on God, so I just keep going through the motions. Keep coming to church, keep doing the things, and convincing myself this is as good as it gets. And I think the problem is we don't understand how God speaks these days. See, Noah, that's kind of handed easy, didn't he? I mean, he was there, and I'm going to guess at this point this was an audible voice. I don't know, maybe he put Noah into a dream, and he gave Noah a bit. I don't know how God gave all this information to Noah, but I do know this, that it was concise enough that Noah could write it down and follow it exactly. And I'll be honest with you, I've never had God speak to me audibly. Aren't you glad to know that? Okay, I have never had the sun part through a cloud and God's voice come out and says, "Verily, thus saith God." I've never had that experience, and I think sometimes we're at a disadvantage with that, but you understand, God still speaks today. He speaks through His Word, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, to the prophets, in many times in various ways. But in these last days, He spoke to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. You get what He's saying here? That audible voice that we keep waiting to hear. We want God to part the skies and tell me what to do. God's not going to do that anymore. Hebrews tells us that that was done when Jesus came and He gave His life on the cross. And Jesus made it very clear. You want to follow God? Listen to me. God made it very clear. Remember when Jesus was baptized and He came up out of the water? What did He say? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Listen to what Jesus has to say to you. Listen to the story. Listen to the sacrifice. Listen to how He wants you to follow Him. That's a voice that we can listen to. I think that's why we have the Gospels in the New Testament, which is basically the chronological story of when Jesus was right here on this planet. Because nobody ever wants us to forget. This is the story. This is what we're supposed to be listening to. Speaking of the Gospels, God speaks through His Word, which is also Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If you're not listening to Scripture, and I hate to tell you this, you're not listening to God. If Scripture is laying something out in front of you, and I realize there's a lot of things in Scripture that we interpret these days, and I get that, but there are some concrete things that you cannot have any division about, and when you start judging those things, and you start making judgment decisions about that, and you start putting your opinion over top of what Scripture says, you know what? God says you're not listening anymore. God says you're listening to something else. You're listening to one of those other voices. You're not listening to what His Word says, because His Word says some definitive things. We can just go back to the Ten Commandments. If we just kept those ten, how much better place would our world be? How much better place would our church be if we just kept ten? The Bible says many things about our life, and we just ignore those things because they inconvenience our life, but God is still speaking. God speaks through the conversation with others, according to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. But encourage one another daily. Notice it doesn't say weekly. Doesn't say encourage one another on Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. That's not what it says. It says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. So as long as it's today, we're supposed to be encouraging. So that none of you will be hardened by your sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, as has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. That's important to remember. There are many days in my weeks that go by, and you know what? Satan is just like pounding on me. It's just been one of those weeks. And I can't tell you how many times in those years it's been a phone call from somebody in a church somewhere that has called me and has just offered me that one little ray of hope that, you know what? Life is going to get better. It's going to get okay. We can get through this together. We have to remember that sometimes God sends people to give us good advice. And we need to learn how to listen to that advice. And in case you're wondering, God works through circumstances too, according to Job. Job chapter 38, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Job, and I love this, out of the storm. The Lord didn't speak to Job in the quietness of a corner. There was a storm raging around Job's life. He had lost all of his family. He had lost all of his money. He had lost all of his health. He was covered in boils. His friends were basically telling him, hey, look, what have you done wrong? What is God? Why is God mad at you? And now Job is looking at God saying, God, get down here and explain this to me. And you know what? I don't think I ever want to do that, because God showed up. And it's funny, God didn't show up as peace. God showed up in the middle of a storm, because he wants Job to understand things that swirl around in our life, when things are going bad, when things are going hard, sometimes God is trying to get your attention. God is trying to speak. But you know what? Sometimes we are so busy trying to fix the problem, we're too busy to listen. And then we wonder, where's God? Where is God in the middle of this storm? Where is God in the middle of what he's speaking? We're just too busy. We're just listening to other voices. We don't want to take the advice he's given us. Maybe because the advice he's given us is a little harder. And then as the years go by and we continue to do this, I love all of those verses because it talks about hearts that get hardened. The more you don't listen, the harder your heart gets. And then when you're ready to listen, you might find yourself a little hard of hearing. And then you really can't hear what you need to hear, even if you wanted to. But we have Noah. You see, when God is heard, things happen. Take this man, Noah. When Noah listened and God was heard, Noah was given the earth. This is what it says in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3 of Genesis. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and on every creature that moves around the ground and on the fish in the sea. Then they are given into the hands, and everything that lives and moves about you will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, now I give you everything. God bless Noah because I love steak. Up until that point, man was basically a vegetarian. And now God is saying, I'm giving you everything, Noah. And I got a feeling there's a practical reason for this. Noah gets off the ark. And, you know, we always like to picture Noah walking off the ark into these green, lush fields. You ever been outside after a great big rainstorm? It's like walking through a mire pit. Nothing's going to grow. And God understands this. And he says, hey, Noah, it's going to be a while before you have corn. But here's the good news. There's probably lots of meat around. And I'm going to give you permission to eat all of that at this point. So I understand there's a practical purpose. But because Noah listened, he was given the earth. If Noah had not listened, he would have perished with the rest of the earth. Don't forget that. Because Noah listened, Noah was safe. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. But about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. You understand, because Noah listened, I don't know how God started the rain. Maybe it was kind of dramatic and he started with just little drops, one or two drizzles. Maybe the skies just opened up and it was just like monsoon. It went from 0 to 60 and the lightning was going and everything. I don't know what it looked like. But here's what I know. When it started, Noah's heart broke for the people that were outside the ark. But Noah understood the meaning of grace, because there he was inside of the ark and he was dry. And as the waters began to rise and the boat rose with it, he understood God had a plan to keep Noah and his family safe. But you understand the condition, right? Noah had to listen. Noah had to take action. It wasn't enough just that he rode around down. There had to be a boat, or there was no salvation for Noah. And because of that, Noah was saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, I find it interesting how much Noah gets mentioned in the New Testament. After being made alive, he went and made the proclamation to the imprisoned spirit, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, which then this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What beautiful verses. But also what heartbreaking verses. How many people? 8. What was the requirement there? Well, God waited patiently while Noah built that ark. God didn't sit there and say, hey, Noah, get busier. God just sat there and he waited. And as long as Noah was continuing to move, God held back those waters. And Noah entered into the ark. God closed the door. Noah sat there, and then God let it all break loose. And Peter makes a kind of object lesson out of this. He says, you know what? Noah was saved because he listened to God and followed God's instructions. Let me bring up a topic for you. It's called baptism. God gave instructions that we are supposed to follow. Do I think baptism, quote, saves? No. Baptism in and of itself is nothing more than a bath. But connected together with everything that you read here in 1 Peter, and we find out salvation is through Christ. But it requires us to listen. It requires us to do the things that God asks us to do. And I didn't make this comparison. I didn't write this. This was written thousands of years before I was ever on this planet. But God wants us to listen to how we're supposed to follow Him. He laid it out there. And I wonder how many of us have made up our own plans. We're just not convinced that God's plan is good enough. Now that's what Noah got. What about us? If I decided today that I was going to listen to God and I was going to follow Him wholeheartedly just as Noah, what's in it for me? I'm sorry, that's what it's all about, right? We always want to know what's in it for me. Well, there's some things in it for you. I don't think God's going to ask you to build another boat, but there are some things. Listening to God offers us the chance to go where God leads. Then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? God is looking for people today that are strong in their faith and passionate in their faith and open in their faith. And He wants to send them somewhere. Where? Same mission as Noah. Out to a world that is lost and dying and out there, and there is judgment coming for them also. And God says, who will go? And unfortunately, sometimes we play the little red head. Not me. Not me. I'm not going. But see, if we begin to listen to God, we understand that is exactly what He's after us to do. To to go. But that takes a little bit of passionate faith, doesn't it? It takes a little bit of open mind, a little bit of hearing ears. Because that verse ends, and it said to him, "Here am I. Send me." Have you ever given God that challenge? "Lord, send me." I wonder sometimes if Brandon asked that question. "Lord, send me." Little did he realize "send me" meant overseas somewhere. "Send me." The problem when you give God that blank check, you don't know where God might send you. But wherever it will be, it'll be where he wants you. And that's important. We need to realize that when we listen to God, we become part of the covenant. It says, "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." You see, we have this problem in the New Testament that well, the Jews had all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom and all of the scriptures, and they refused to listen to God. And God said, "That's okay, because my word is going to keep going, and it'll go over to the Gentiles. I will continue to speak until I find a people willing to listen to me." Aren't you thankful? Because I want to tell you what, that's what the church is all about. The church is kind of like God's new design for the ark. And the idea is that we're supposed to be here preaching God's word, not so that we can just build numbers, because we are interested in the fact that we know the end of the story, just like Noah. We don't know when, just like Noah, but we know what, just like Noah. And we're supposed to be reaching people and teaching people and baptizing people and bringing people onto the ark so that when the judgment comes, they will be part of the covenant also. What a heartbreaking day it will be when we realize we're in the ark and somebody we had a chance to talk to isn't. Isn't that going to be tough? I do. Listening offers us fellowship with God. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, I like to eat, so I like this verse. But you have to realize, he says, "I'm just going to knock." And you have to make a response. You have to open the door. God isn't going to kick down the door of your life and demand an audience with you. It's not going to happen. He's just going to stand there with a gentle. He isn't going to start pounding on the door. He isn't going to peep through the keyhole and go, "Hello, is anybody home?" He's not doing that. He's just going to keep knocking, and it is your decision whether you choose to listen or not. But if you choose to not, then you understand God's never coming in. So I want to bring you back to where we started. How are you listening to God? Are you doing it the Noah way, where you listen to what God says, and even though it may inconvenience your life, and even though it's going to require some suffering and some pain? You realize this wasn't a pleasant voyage for Noah. Have you ever been to a zoo? Have you ever? Zoos don't smell good. We like zoo, we're zoo people, but zoos don't smell good. And I could not imagine being bottled up with a bunch of animals for 40 days. Okay, I have kids. Maybe I can. Never mind. Okay, that's here and there. But I could not imagine being bottled up with those creatures for 40 days. I wonder what kind of ventilation system God designed for this. Because this was not a good thing. So it wasn't exactly a fun voyage. It was an inconvenience. But Noah did not care, because Noah was interested in salvation for himself, salvation for his family. And the funny thing is while the ark was being built, Noah continued to preach. It was an open invitation. It wasn't just for him and his family. Anybody that wanted to repent, anybody that wanted to say, "I believe that the flood is coming, I'm getting on the boat," anybody that wanted to could have walked up that ramp. They were given that invitation. Sad thing is that nobody took it seriously until the rain started. So I realize having passionate faith can be very discouraging. And going out there and inviting people to church and going out there and talking to people about Jesus, and it just seems to make no good sense at all because nobody's listening anymore. Yes, they are. You are. So are you going to live your life that way? Are you going to choose the Donald method? And you're just hoping about hope that right before the end of wherever your life is going to end, that God is going to give you some miraculous catastrophe event that's going to get your life in gear, and all of a sudden you're going to be running to Jesus at the last minute, and you're going to dive across the door just as the little ark door is going up, and there you go, safe, he made it. How are you going about this? You know the only guaranteed way to get onto the ark? Noah's plan. The other way, the lightning may or may not come. And when the lightning does come, you may not be willing to do anything about it. The only way onto the ark was Noah's plan. Listen, believe, and enter. That was it. Everything else didn't work. So remember these two images throughout your week. As you hear things in your life and you think you hear God trying to ask you to do something in your life, something with your life, how are you going to respond? Put God off and then try to answer it in chaos later because you realize, oh gosh, he was serious. He wanted me to do that. I better get busy. Are you going to do it Noah's plan? As God gives you the instructions, you just keep building and keep building and keep building and keep building until we get home.